welcome everyone to the HTC Wrestling Pulsecast. I'm your host, Matt Herrick, joined this week by Justin Cerwanka. Unfortunately, Cam was not able to make it tonight, but we do have another special guest. We have the Wrestling Wife on tonight, who is going to be our Vanna White of the night. If you didn't know, we are doing a WrestleMania-themed show each and every week leading up to WrestleMania. Unfortunately, our guest for tonight fell through. Because of that, we have to go with a little bit of an audible. And by that audible, we are doing a WrestleMania trivia game, which is basically going one-on-one now. It was supposed to be three on three. It was supposed to be a triple threat, I guess you could call it. But yeah, now we're just going with Justin versus myself, and Cam already conceded his loss, so he's done. Justin versus myself, with the loser having to purchase a championship belt of the winner's choosing and mail it to them directly as they rightfully should. It's kind of like the Ric Flair situation where he didn't want to send back the WCW title belt because he walked away with it and paid the deposit. Instead of that, we're just using that as kind of a trophy. But before we get into all that, there's a lot came out of Raw. And we're also getting set up here again with our little trivia game going on. We actually did go out and purchase the official WWE WrestleMania Trivia Mania game. But we are not playing the game as is intended, of course, because it's a board game. So we are using, there's three different sets of questions. There's Attitude Era, there's Old School Era, and there's Modern Era. The Wrestling Wife, Colleen, will be randomly choosing a card and randomly choosing an era for each one of us. And we'll be keeping score about who's winning, who's losing, who needs to score extra points. We'll come up with something for an extra point or two. Maybe a harder question or whatever. We'll figure something out. Obviously, we're flying by the seat of our pants right now. But I just wanted to get into talking to Justin because we really haven't heard from Justin until probably about 45 minutes into this show for the past couple weeks. So, Justin, how are you this week, and what did you think of Raw?
First of all, I'm just ready to get winter out of the way. We had another blizzard up here in Buffalo yesterday, so that was always fun. The only positive out of it is that we closed the movie theater I work at, so I got to go home at 1 o'clock. So that's the only positive out of all of it. But so that's the positive. As far as Raw goes, I guess we can say they finally did the right thing as far as Road to WrestleMania goes. They didn't, as I like to use, kind of the giving directions expression or going somewhere expression. They didn't take the highway and get off at the exit and then arrive at your destination. They took the side streets and then turned left and right and a couple other quick lefts and rights, and then they got there. So they went a different, complicated way, but, you know, thanks to the fans and CM Punk walking out, we're finally getting a Daniel Bryan against Triple H, which is what should have been the plan, just differently back from SummerSlam. And presumably, more than likely, we are going to get Daniel Bryan in the main event match at WrestleMania against Randy Orton and Batista. You know, it's finally, I liked the segment on Raw this past week where they had the fans in the ring, they're kind of, you know, occupying Raw, because they can't use the word hijack when it's a face, I guess. So they occupied Raw, and they got their way, so that was good. It's going to entice more people to watch WrestleMania. It's going to maybe entice more people to go to WrestleMania, knowing that there's a strong likelihood that Daniel Bryan could walk out with the WWE Championship. So, you know, smart from the WWE's perspective, from the creative's perspective, to realize that, you know, they couldn't go with what they originally had because they, A, botched it on their own end, and B, thought Batista was a bigger star coming back than he was. So kudos to them for that. As far as everything else goes, you know, it was all right. I gave the show kind of a high rating. You know, I liked the Shield stuff that happened. They're finally doing John Cena and Bray Wyatt. That's official now. You know, the Heyman Undertaker stuff was passable, so there's that. As far as the Battle Royal goes, hey, it gets everybody a WrestleMania payday, no matter how much that is now, considering we don't really know still how that's going to work, the pay-per-view bonuses with the network. But, you know, it was a good, solid, okay, here's our four top main event matches for WrestleMania now. They got that out of the way. Now it's time to build towards some kind of an undercard. I'm like you said, besides the Battle Royal, I think the Shield are going to get their own match. Maybe you get Cesaro taking on Jack Swagger. So it was a good, finally, setting stone for WrestleMania where they can finally now launch and get into the main portions of the feuds with 3 weeks to go. The Sheamus Christian brawl, I thought, was like one of those fun side brawls that they had, you know, with the drum set and all the guitars. So that was fun. Overall, I thought it was a pretty good episode of Raw, looking back.
Yeah, it was funny. If you follow me on Twitter, you saw that I basically was three days late covering Raw. So I really didn't feel the need to write up a whole article about it, write up my thoughts. I just posted them as I was watching to Twitter. And actually, see, George, there was quite a lot of people following along with me and just commenting on what I was writing, which is weird considering it was a middle-of-the-day type thing and we were that far removed from Monday night. But not just the idea of what WrestleMania is turning out to be. I like the inclusion of a battle royal. That has always been the dark match of WrestleMania. Now they finally moved it on to the main card and gave it some prestige. That's a nice little traditional thing that they could throw in there, that people who have been clamoring for a Money in the Bank match, it's not the Money in the Bank match, but you get to see a lot of guys, and I'm sure you'll get to see a lot of high spots and a lot of stuff going on. So it's kind of like a mini Royal Rumble in the middle of WrestleMania. As far as the Daniel Bryan stuff goes, I thought it was funny because I made a comment a couple times, or I made a comment a while ago about how they were going to book Mania, but I made a comment about the setting that they had with Daniel Bryan and all the, well, catering staff and people who work backstage, but the, quote, fans occupying Raw. And to me, that was what the Summer of Punk should have been. That should have been the voice of the voiceless. That should have been what he was standing up for. And as fun as the sit-down contract signing between him and Vince McMahon was, and how much of a memorable moment it was, and some things that came out of that segment, how much more power would it had if they had done something like this, where they actually showed CM Punk as a man of the people, kind of how they did in Chicago when he ran out with the title. So it seemed like they took this idea, and if they just had it 2 years earlier, we could be talking about not so much CM Punk missing from the WWE roster, but CM Punk either at equal ground or overtaking some of these big giant stars in the WWE. And unfortunately, it didn't work out that way. Honestly, I can't complain in the fact that it's Daniel Bryan that's getting the push instead of Punk. I think they both have tremendous upsides, obviously, and they're both going to be remembered as some of the greats in wrestling. But it just felt like it felt delayed to me. I don't know why. It just felt like it was something. I was watching it, and I was like, you know what? They really could have done something so much more if they had thought of this a couple years earlier. And it was upsetting in that respect, but in other respects, I'm glad Daniel Bryan's getting this opportunity. I'm glad that he's the one that's been put into this spot and is the one that is reaping the benefits of having a very thin roster as far as main event babyfaces. mean, you're looking at your top two baby faces right now are John Cena and Daniel Bryan, and then who? Hulk Hogan? I mean, that's how bad it is. You could go to Sheamus, or you could go to maybe, I can't even think, maybe Roman Reigns, who's not supposed to be a babyface. But, yeah, that's how it's working, and it's weird. It's not something that I would have expected, and I don't know. I don't know what to think about it yet. I think WrestleMania is shaping up the way it's supposed to be, but I'm still cautiously optimistic. I thank God that they're finally putting them into the main event, and I think we're going to see another Bret Hart / Shawn Michaels boyhood dream come true moment with Daniel Bryan winning the WWE World Championship at WrestleMania, but it took them a long time to get there. And I appreciate it. I appreciate that fact. I appreciate the idea that they did a slow build up to it, but it wasn't so much as a slow build as a start and stop build. I don't know. It's like you said. It seemed like they finally saw the error of their ways, and we're gonna go and run with it now. And they know that. They know that Daniel Bryan is the guy to go with and to have a great match with whoever they really want to put in the ring with them. We'll see. I mean, we could have another CM Punk situation where he has run for a year and then kind of just backpedals and falls to the wayside and has upper mid-card feuds again. So who knows? It's going to be interesting. One thing is for certain, I think I know this might just be me, but it definitely made WrestleMania more appealing to me. Just this last week of Raw, it definitely made WrestleMania a must-see for me, whereas before it was, okay, it's going to be WrestleMania, I'll be watching it. But was that just that you were getting before, or did it really sell you on Monday?
I think Monday was one of those things I like kind of view where, you know, I'm going to watch it no matter what. I'm a wrestling fan. I have a WWE network. This Monday kind of made me more optimistic for it. Like you said, you know, the whole Daniel Bryan thing and finally realizing maybe going with the boyhood dream killer, Shawn Michaels, that definitely made it more watchable and more exciting for me in my eyes. And I even have friends. That don't watch it, and I just get them to watch pay-per-views of me here and there, and they like Daniel Bryan. Even now, they're excited to see Daniel Bryan, you know, maybe wrestle in the main event after I told them how everything went down there. So that's a good thing. You know, as far as everything else goes, you know, Brock Lesnar, The Undertaker, still is to me is just kind of like a, you know, one guy's gonna be there one week, the other guy's not gonna be there the next. I don't want to say it's a throwaway match. I still think they'll have a good match, but I don't think there's anything in that build that's going to make me more interested in it than I would be right now. Cena Bray Wyatt, I'm definitely looking forward to. I think that match has potential to maybe even be a show stealer for the night, and that's weird considering you're talking about the top guy in the company saying that, but John Cena isn't known for his wrestling skills. But I think that match could be a show stealer. So, you know, as far as that goes, I would say, yeah, I'm definitely more interested after Monday going into WrestleMania than I was, say, you know, the weekend before.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure as Bray Wyatt and John Cena being a show stealer. I think they're going to be a spectacle, which is going to, I think, blow some people's minds. I right now believe that Bray Wyatt will be going over Cena, which says something. I mean, Cena's a type of guy who, as much as many people fault him, he's never backed down from, no pun intended, never really shied away from losing at WrestleMania if it was the right way to go. So for him to lose is not a big deal. For him to lose to a guy who's at the point in the card as Bray Wyatt is would be a huge jump for Wyatt. And I don't think Cena would take a big hit from it. But it would definitely put Wyatt in that spectrum of main eventer, anything can happen type of player. I know Cam recently put up an article comparing Cena and Wyatt versus Undertaker Hogan. And I can kind of see the similarities in an updated version of it. And I'm curious. I'm curious to see how it plays out, what goes down, if they can hold the attention of the audience for that long, because it is a WrestleMania audience. You know they're going to be cheering Wyatt and booing Cena. But Cena's getting his offense in. And are they going to go the long route and actually have a full, long, drawn-out match, or are they going to go with something a little bit more decent? You can't really tell when it's going to be a John Cena match because most of his are the main event, been the main event for the past 2 years. I don't know what they're going to do with this upper mid-card guy who's on the verge of the main event but not really there yet. Besides that, the rest of the card is kind of shaping up, like you said. It's going to be an interesting, eclectic group of people that are being paired up together. I don't think we don't have a tag team title match scheduled as of now, although it looks like it's going to be the Outlaws versus the Usos, which just seems weird for a WrestleMania match. But you got to get the – I would think you would need to get the tag team titles on the card if you're not going to have the Intercontinental or the U.S. titles defended. Whether or not that does happen and they go with the triple threat for the U.S. title, I could see that happening within the Shield. They're not doing an IC title match because they already announced Biggie Langston for the Royal Rumble or – not Royal Rumble, but the battle, the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. So they're not going for a unification match. There's going to be something happening with the Shield. Is it a triple threat match for the U.S. title? I thought the Kane line saying that this kind of all started when you two lost the tag team titles made sense because that gave them not only that little push of you two lost the titles, but also, hey, there's only one guy with the title now. You can kind of parlay that into, hey, the other two want that belt as well. If we're not going to be a unit, why don't we all fight each other for this championship? But that's neither here nor there. We have a lot of weeks to talk about WrestleMania, especially next week. Our next week's guest will be... Goldstein. We'll be on the show next week talking biggest WrestleMania surprises over the last 30 years. So he'll be on with us, and Andrew Goldstein, sorry, just completely blanking out. Obviously, we're starting the show late, so I was late getting out of work, so I'm kind of rushing right into this. So, Justin, I might give you a little bit of an advantage in this trivia contest we have going on here. But we'll have to wait and see. And as talking about guests and people on the show, I would like to introduce the HTC and Inside Pulse Pulsecast listeners to the wrestling wife herself, Mrs. Matthew Herrick. Miss Colleen Herrick, how are you, Colleen?
Good.
That's all we get. Not even hello to Justin. Nothing. Just I'm good.
Hi, Justin.
Hello. Now, obviously, you've probably noticed there's a little bit of a feedback going back and forth. So how we're going to work this out is I'm basically going to be going back and forth as far as muting. I have yes or no sounds on whether the not the question, but whether the answer is correct or not, I will get a shake of the head or nod of the head from Mrs. Wrestling Wife. And we'll just go with it that way, so that way we can cut back on a little bit of the feedback, considering it's not the most ideal setup, and we are missing another one of our players. So we're going to try to make the best of this. Hopefully you have some fun listening out there and playing along with us. If you want to call in and give us a question that's not on one of our cards that you think you could stump us on, the guest call-in number is 818-532-9786. Again, that's 818-532-9786. Try to stump both of us and see what happens. I don't think it will happen, but, hey, you never know. That being said, I think I have a coin here. We can flip to see who goes first. As far as point system goes, I have no idea. I think we're just going to be asking questions, having fun, expanding on some of the answers or some of the questions and talking about some WrestleMania history here. And then by the time is up, then we'll see who's adding points. That sound good to you?
Yeah, it works for me.
Like, that's pretty much as simple as I could possibly make it. I really don't know any other way to make it any easier. But so for heads or tails, you get to choose if you go first or you go second. So call it.
Heads.
And it's heads. You want to go first or second?
Second.
Yeah, second. Okay, so you're throwing me into the fire first. All right.
Yep.
So let me set this up so I can see all the answers. No, so I can see exactly who's winning and who's losing. I didn't do any prep work as far as this go, except for opening the box and taking the cards out and shuffling them. So, okay, here we go. Let's get our first question from Ms. Vanna White herself.
First of all, I'd like to say, Justin, don't worry. I reshuffled the cards. And cards, big events, championships, and superstar bio. If I could choose from any of those and rename himself a team.
That would be the one-man gang.
Correct.
And, oh, no, I got to hit the music because I had to mute her. Ah, where's our music? Oh, no. Ah, here it is.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. That's it. That is a plus one for Mr. Herrick. So, and I know there's, and people out there listening, I know there's a weird thumping noise when we're both on the line. I'm trying to figure out a way to cut down on that and try to figure it out so it's not so bad. Let me try doing this, and maybe it'll be a little bit different. If not, I'll try something else. But that is neither here nor there. I have 1 point. That's all I got to say about that. So, marked on one for myself, and let's move on to Justin and his first question of the night. And, oh, by the way, we do have a 20-second time limit, and if you go over that time limit, let's say if you go over that time limit or can't come up with an answer or can't even spit out an answer, let's say you lose a point. So your best bet is just to guess. So we are giving you 20 seconds. So and obviously I have a clock running here because I know the on-air time. So anyway, Justin, your first question of the night.
Yeah.
can't hear the question at my end. That thumping noise is kind of cutting her out. I can barely hear her.
Okay, is this any better?
Yes.
That sounds a lot better. Okay, then.
Okay. So, your question is from the Attitude Era, and it's a big event. Who won the Corporation versus D Generation X Mini Rumble to earn the number 30 spot in the 1999 Royal Rumble match?
Number 30 spot in the 1999 Royal Rumble match? This is a tough one. I'm just going to throw a random guess out there because I knew 2000s, but I don't know 99s, and I am just going to say Ken Shamrock.
Nope, sorry. It's China.
Oh, my God, how did I get that? Yeah.
Great start for Justin. Granted, now we have an echo going on now, so
okay, and this is from the modern era. Championships. Who emerged from the ECW Championship Scramble at Unforgiven in 2008 with the ECW title?
2008, I would say that would be Matt Hardy.
Oh, yeah!
That...
All right, Justin, this is also from the modern era. It's a superstar bio. What bizarre WWE superstar was known for both eating worms and also spitting worms in the face or mouth of downed opponents?
That would be the Boogeyman.
Oh, yeah!
Yeah, I
got to
give it to you on that one.
That might have been the issue. My phone was on mute, but somehow I was coming through. Unless Justin couldn't hear me. Did you hear me say anything about Jillian Hall or anything of that matter?
The last thing I heard you say was something about SmackDown being the exclusive brand. I didn't hear you say anything about Jillian Hall.
Okay, so that's been our problem. Hello, Technical Glitch Thursday. So... Anyway, yes, I was basically saying that was a very, very bad part of SmackDown's history. But like I said, the worm thing didn't bother me as much as the eating of the fake mole off of Jillian Hall's face. But yeah, that wasn't fun to be around. But anytime you want to add anything to these questions or talk about back history on these questions, anything of that matter, go for it, is what I'm saying. Now that I think I know what I have going on and what's wrong and what's right, and you can hear me now correctly, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, I knew what was going on, and I've gotten it all straightened out, and hopefully now we won't have as much of an issue.
But that being said, we are still 2-1 in favor of me. And my next question is from what era?
The classic era. The Superstar Bio. What was the name of the tag team formed by B. Brian Blair and Jumpin' Jim Brunzell?
That would have to be the awesomely colored Killer Bees.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, yeah! I cannot get an image of the Killer Bees out of my head now, and they're horrible, horrible trunks and mullets and mustaches. But, yes, and hey, WrestleMania relevant question. They're one of the first tag teams to perform at a WrestleMania, so there you go. Anyway, that's 3 points for myself, and Justin, just really trying to catch up to 3. Anyway, Justin, you are up now. Let's get your question and what era it's from.
It is from the Attitude Era. It's a Superstar Bio. What future WWE champion debuted in WWE under the name The Ringmaster?
That would be Mr. Austin 316 himself, Steve Austin.
Yeah!
And if you would have told me that when he got the Ringmaster gimmick that he was going to be WWF or a college champion one day, I probably would have laughed in your face considering the way he debuted. I mean, he was one of those guys that people always thought he had potential, and it just really took the Attitude Era for it to finally come into one. So, yeah, that's the story of Steve Austin, I guess.
See, for me, it's one of those, that drives me nuts when people say that, because I was a huge, stunning Steve Austin fan. I thought he had some of the best matches WCW had ever produced with Ricky Steamboat or Dustin Rhodes or whoever he was wrestling for the U.S. or television championship. He had great matches as the Hollywood Blonde with Brian Pillman. Even though he didn't even want to be in the tag team to begin with, I thought he was fantastic as that role. Obviously, he became a bigger star than Hulk Hogan ever was once he turned into Stone Cold. But if they had kept on the same path in WCW with him as stunning Steve Austin, I could see him being a world champion. And they brought him into WWE, as they like to say, as a good hand because he was good in the ring and not so much the personality-wise and whatever. They gave Ted DiBiase his mouthpiece so he didn't have to talk and just imagine Stone Cold Steve Austin not being allowed to talk for an interview is ridiculous. Stunning Steve Austin to me is one of the great mid-90s WCW gimmicks, and he had awesome matches. He was one of the him, Dustin Rhodes, and Ricky Steamboat were probably three of the only reasons I even watched Saturday Night's Main Event, and they always put on a fantastic show.
Who is Steve Austin?
I'm giving backstory onto what this question was about and complaining to Justin because he said that he would have failed if he hadn't broken away. I have hours to fill. Anyway, that was Justin's question, which I already had the Macho Man Ooyak queued up before you even answered the question. But anyway, moving on, we'll get on to my fourth question as it stands 3-2.
And this is from the modern era. Big events. Who did Shawn Michaels face one-on-one for the first time in his career at SummerSlam 2005?
I would have to say that was Hulk Hogan.
Oh, yeah!
Yeah! That was a close one for me. I wasn't too sure. I knew it was bad at
a match in SummerSlam, but I wasn't so sure about 2005. That was an awkward time for the WWE, and there wasn't. But luckily, there wasn't very many people that Shawn hadn't faced. I can't believe that was the first time they ever wrestled, though. Even when he was back as the Heartbreak Kid and stuff like that. But that's besides the point. That was another point for me. Although I do remember the promo with him and doing the fake Larry King and all that fun stuff, and doing the Hulk Hogan mockery was absolutely fantastic.
I was going to say, a completely overselling in that entire match, which was also kind of comical.
Well, yeah, that was because he was wrestling Hulk Hogan, and came out the next night on Raw and completely buried him because Vince was just not happy with him. But we're not getting into politics. We're getting into wrestling history. But besides the point, let's get on to your next question, and here we go.
And that is from the classic era. It is a championship. Who managed Andre the Giant when he challenged Hulk Hogan for the WWE Championship at WrestleMania 3?
That would be the one and only legendary Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Ooh, yeah!
Yep, it's one of the most memorable, probably the most memorable match in WrestleMania right now, just image-wise, but I still find it funny, I don't think we really talked about last week's show, but how our guest last week, Jill Thompson, just categorized one of her outfits for the ring just being the ring carts going down to the ring. She just thought everybody should have a ring cart, and that should just be everybody's entrance outfit. Swerved us a little bit on that one, but I let it slide. I gotta let the guest slide, don't I? That and the fact that she gave her top three in the first 5 minutes of the show. But that's another point for Justin. And moving on to myself and my fifth question. I don't know how many questions we're doing, by the way. Right now, so far, only Justin's got one wrong, and I'm batting 1,000. So it keeps up at this pace. It might be a very quick game, and we try to end the show early, or we start getting a little bit harder ones, and we start flailing around, and maybe make this a little bit more interesting. But besides the point, let's get on to my next question, and I have no idea what era this one's from.
It is from the Attitude Era. It's a big event. What superstar returned to WWE at Survivor Series 2002, attacking both Matt Hardy and Christopher Nowitzki?
Can you please repeat the question?
Am I allowed to do that?
I'm the host. You're allowed to do that.
What superstar returned to WWE at Survivor Series 2002, attacking both Matt Hardy and Christopher Nowitzki?
I'm going to say Stone Cold Steve Austin.
No!
No!
Steiner.
Oh, bad point of history. Bad point of WWE history. That eventually led to the awful, awful Triple H Scott Steiner Royal Rumble match. Wow. Okay, yeah. I guess there's a reason why I forgot what that answer was. Oh, that was bad. Anyway, that's my time. So we're all tied up now. So we're moving on to Justin. And hey, maybe you can make a run here. We get more than more than two wrong in a row or more than one wrong in a row.
All right. This is from the modern era. It's a big event. What superstar represented Donald Trump in his Battle of the Billionaires against Mr. McMahon at WrestleMania 23?
Well, if I remember correctly, he wasn't the original choice, but it ended up being Bobby Lashley.
Ooh, yeah!
Yeah, if I remember correctly, I think the original plan... I think the original plan was something along the lines of Shawn Michaels against Booker T, and then, you know, I think Eddie Guerrero passed away. That was the November before Eddie Guerrero passed away, and they had a rewrite kind of thing later in the year going into WrestleMania, if I remember correctly.
You don't, but that's okay. that was actually WrestleMania 23, and Eddie Guerrero passed away before WrestleMania 22 when Rey Mysterio won the World Championship. But
oh yeah, you're right.
That's okay. That's okay, Justin. It's okay. You got the question right. That's what matters, right? Okay.
Yeah.
we'll go on to my.
That's from the modern era. Championships. What superstar made history in June 2006 when he was both the ECW champion and the WWE champion simultaneously?
That would have to be Mr. Monday Night, Mr. Pay-Per-View, Mr. Airbrushed Unitard, Rob Van Dam.
Oh, yeah!
That was the first man to actually announce when he was going to cash in his Money in the Bank briefcase. Did it with the help of Edge, and then got busted for marijuana while driving with Sabu and lost both titles within 2 days. Another great moment in WWE history. point for me. And moving on to Justin, the next question.
This is from the classic era. Championship. Before becoming a successful manager, what woman beat the Fabulous Moolah for the WWE Women's title in July 1987?
July 1987, before becoming a successful manager... The only name that is popping into my head right now is Sensational Sherry.
Ooh, yeah!
Yeah. See, now these sound effects are actually building in anticipation. Because I didn't know what the correct answer for that one was either. I was sitting here waiting to get the head nod. So... Good on you. I don't know if I would have gotten that one right. That was a good one. Hey, this game is actually is not that bad. I for a WWE produced board game, it's actually holding its own. I can't find a good enough one online. I had to actually go out and buy the board game. But anyway, moving on. My next question.
And that is from the Attitude Era Superstar Bio. What name did Shane McMahon's childhood trio of friends go by when they entered the WWE in 1999?
That would be the awesome Mean Street Posse.
Oh, yeah!
Joey Abs, Pete Gass, and I think just Rodney. I don't know if Rodney ever had a last name. Correct you if I'm wrong, Justin. All I remember is
no,
the bleach blonde hair. The hair that never moved. And poor Joey Abs, he was stuck in developmental, and that's what he gets called up for. But, wow, yeah. That Pete Gass is still, I think, wrestling on the indie circuit, which is pretty funny in itself. But, anyway, moving on. And Justin's next question.
From the modern era, championships. What Faction attacked John Cena during his 2010 Fatal 4-Way match for the WWE Championship, allowing Sheamus to win the title?
That would be, at least to me, one of the biggest, misuses, flops in wrestling history as far as factions goes, and that would be the Nexus.
Ooh, yeah!
Yeah, I look back on the Nexus angle to this day and still look at it and just say, how did they go about, screwing that up? That's one of those angles that should have made Wade Barrett a star, and now he's on a 20-foot platform talking about giving bad news, which I don't think is that bad of a gimmick. I think it's a good mid-card gimmick, but from what he should have been, which is a main eventer, it's a complete downfall.
That's only when the platform works. They had a lot of bad luck as far as the Nexus angle goes off. They screwed it up as far as firing Daniel Bryan, the only star to come out of that. And then everybody getting hit with the injury bug. So people were just getting dropping off like saws. Like, here's this huge group that's supposed to be taking over the WWE and putting people out of action, and they're all getting hurt. And on house shows, to top it off, I think they learned their lesson, though, because they kept the Shield at three people. It just seems like that would make sense, because it was a similar style of breaking in the new faction, but they kept it at three people. So if somebody did get hurt, they could just change it to a tag team or change it to that guy's the manager or something like that, compared to Nexus, where the whole point of it was that they had strength in numbers, and those numbers dwindled very, very, very quickly. But, yeah, I agree with you. Wade Barrett right now is a man on his own island, and unfortunately that island includes a forklift. Moving on to my next.
That is from the modern era. Big event. Who defeated John Cena in a New York City parking lot brawl at the 2008 Great American Bash?
What year was it?
2008.
Defeated John Cena?
Correct.
Say JBL?
Oh, yeah!
Woo! That was the first one. Because that was around the time when John Cena wasn't losing. I knew there was a run there where JBL was kind of beating everybody. So that was a noun by for myself, and I'm the one queuing up the sound effects. Justin, going on to your next one. Hopefully you have better luck than I did.
And that's from the Attitude Era. Superstar bio. After Edge and Christian abandoned Gangrel, what tag team joined with him to become the new Brood?
Again, the only thing that pops in my head from the Attitude Era tag team wise, is it the Hardy Boys?
Oh, yeah!
Woo!
I'm really surprised it took you that long to figure that out. Because that was the first thing that popped into my head. Like, I even remember them attacking Michael P.S. Hayes in order to join Gangrel, and it was this stupid, stupid angle. But, wow. You are a big Edge fan, so I'm surprised it took you that long to come up with that one. But that's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know why it didn't pop into my head right away. Honestly, for some reason, I thought it was the Hardy Boys when it was first said, and I just kind of was trying to run through tag teams set back from them ahead, and they're the only ones that would have fit. So I kind of was 75 to 80% sure it was the Hardys. I decided to do a quick reminder in my head of other tag teams during that time.
The sad part of that whole thing was the fact that they had to lose Perry afterwards. I mean, she became part of the Pretty Mean Sisters, or started the Pretty Mean Sisters, or whatever the hell they were called. And again, another time in wrestling history, which was just awful and terrible, and we don't need to revisit that stable, if you can call it that. Anyway, moving on to my next question.
That is also from the Attitude Era. Big event. What tag team reunited to face three members of Evolution in a handicap match at WrestleMania 20?
Like, I gotta say, it's a match I just watched recently, and it's a match that I will forever remember because it was one of the two WrestleManias I had ever gone to, and the one WrestleMania that we weren't stuck out in the miserable cold with giant pillars blocking our view, and that would be the Rock and Jock Connection, who eventually lost to Evolution.
Ooh, yeah!
But I understand why they lost, but come on. We did get a great match between Mick Foley and Randy Orton the next month at Backlash, but and if you look back in the history books now, it's Randy Orton, Batista, and Ric Flair versus The Rock and Mick Foley. Yeah, that's a big match, but back then it was like The Rock's last match everybody fought. His last match was against Goldberg, and he decided to come back for one more match with Mick Foley, and everybody thought it was the last one, and he loses. It just seemed odd. I don't know. Do you remember that as clearly as I do, Justin, or did you have the same feeling, or did you feel that it was did you feel it was a shoe-in for the Rock and Jock Connection, or was Evolution on the way up?
I think it was one of those things where I'm kind of, the Rock and Jock Connection. The Rock and Jock Connection was kind of, if I would have known they were going to do Mick Foley against Randy Orton at the next pay-per-view, I could have maybe seen Rock and Sock Connection thinking about getting a win there, but as far as going into it, I always kind of thought, Evolution's going up. Yeah, they have Ric Flair who doesn't need to win, but you got two young guys in Randy Orton and Batista. Well, Batista, I guess, really wasn't considered young, but as far as on the WWE scene, he was new. So I could have seen, I don't remember that clearly, but if I would have, looking back now, I probably would have leaned more toward Evolution winning there as far as that goes, especially when you consider that probably you're going to have a couple faces when the title matches and you need a heel somewhere to win. So I probably would have picked Evolution looking back on it now, just going into the match, not knowing there was going to be a Mick Foley, Randy Orton match the next pay-per-view.
I think you're full of crap. I think you would have went with Blue. I think you would have went with... When you hear that Mick Foley has a friend coming in, and the first time you see him is at WrestleMania, and it's going to be The Rock, and you hear it's going to be The Rock versus this new upstart group when Foley had to kick down the stairs and Randy Orton spit in his face and all this other stuff, you totally would have went with The Rock and Jock Connection. There's no way in hell you would have went with Evolution. You're full of crap.
I don't know. I don't remember that much of the billboard that I'm just kind of remembering the match. I don't remember too much of the build itself.
That said, my friend, you have WWE Network. Go back and try to find the Raws leading up to that. I'm sure they're there somewhere. Pull up the regular DVD or the Rock DVD or the Mick Foley DVD or the Ric Flair DVD. I'm sure it's got to be on one of them. I mean, they all have their own by now. Moving on. My question, I believe. Wait. Yeah. Let me make sure I have all of yours. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah. No, it's on you. Yeah, you're right. I am wrong. Okay. Go on, Justin.
This is from the classic era, big event. What WWE Hall of Fame competitor and manager accompanied the imposter Undertaker to the ring at SummerSlam 1994?
That would be the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase.
Ooh, yeah!
The classic Undertaker versus Undertaker. Which was the best one.
That was terrible. I think they were lucky that the fake Undertaker was actually friends with the real Undertaker, so he was able to get away with it. But God, if they didn't have anybody else besides Bryan Adams doing it, I think they would have had a lot of issues because of how that played out. That was a terrible, terrible angle. But they moved past it. And the new event did that year. That was the year of the Bret Hart, Owen Hart steel cage match. And Undertaker versus Undertaker main evented with Leslie Nielsen and the Naked Gun cast searching for Undertaker throughout the entire show. Wow, this random knowledge just stuck in my head. It is terrible. All right, we're back to me, and my next question is from, I don't know, where.
The modern era. Superstar bio. What Raw guest host and NBA owner was slammed through a table in December 2009 by Sheamus?
That would be the ever-controversial Mark Cuban.
Ooh, yeah!
And that surprised the hell out of me. I thought for sure that, the man is crazy to begin with, but I never would have thought that a guy like him would say, yeah, sure, I'll take a table spot and do whatever you want for me. The guy's worth billions of dollars. And he just decides, sure, I'll be slammed through a table by a 300-pound Irishman. Why not? This shit sounds like fun. That was probably one of the few, besides Bob Barker, that probably was the most memorable Raw guest host during that time frame. And I'm sorry, even during Bob Barker, the best part of Bob Barker hosting Raw was Jericho coming out with a name tag in his wrestling trunks on, and just the name tag stuck to his chest. That was still the best part. I don't know. But, anyway, so that is one for me, and moving on back down to Justin. We haven't missed one, I missed one recently, but we're on a roll here. You haven't missed one since the very first question. So I'm getting a little nervous here. If we keep getting all these right, we gotta get some or start making up some questions and make them harder. Who knows?
Modern era championships. Who stunned JBL by beating him for the Intercontinental Championship in less than 30 seconds?
That would be, if I remember correctly, dressed as the Joker, Rey Mysterio.
Ooh, yeah!
Yeah, that was an awful Rey Mysterio doom, and I remember correctly, JBL promptly retired or quit as he was walking back up the entrance ramp. Instead of Santino at the Royal Rumble saying, I wasn't ready, he just said, no, I quit. You guys all hate me. Bye. It just came out of nowhere. Instead of when JBL tells the story about that, because he said I was a wrestling heel, I was this guy, that's kind of how I wanted to go out, and it doesn't seem like the ideal way for anybody to retire, but hey, I guess whatever floats your boat. The guy's a millionaire who lives in the Bahamas and flies to wherever Raw is every week. I guess he can get away with whatever he wants to say. Moving on to my next question.
From the Attitude Era, championships. What four-time cruiserweight champion also teamed with Paul London to win the WWE Tag Team titles in July 2004?
I would have to say that would be the Brian Kendrick.
No!
No!
That would be Billy Kidman.
Why? Oh, God. Why? Oh, that's painful. Oh, that's really
That
would have
been my answer, too. So.
Okay. Still, it wasn't. Damn it. Anyway. Damn. Anyway, I ate smacked up for that time period. Moving on to your next question.
Also from the Attitude Era, superstar bio. With what WWE superstar did Mae Young have a May-December romance leading to a bizarre pregnancy?
Oh, God, I get all the ones with the bad endings. Oh, that's Mark Henry, and the less said about it, the better.
Oh, yeah!
I just like how our host is laughing at me as I'm rolling my eyes while she's reading off the question because it is so bad. God, that brings back so many bad memories.
Hey, but it's good to see that the hand is actually doing quite well from his first self from Raw's anniversary show last year.
Poor Mae Young, she got sucked into so many bad things and bad deals, and she's still considered a legend, but dear God, she had some crappy things she had to go through. Anyway, let's go on to the next question.
That's from the classic era, superstar bio. Whose 1988 arrival in WWE was heralded with videos of his excellence in bowling, baseball, golf, and football?
That is by far one of my favorite wrestlers of all time, Mr. Perfect Curt Hennig.
Oh, yeah!
And to find out on his DVD tribute that he actually did all that stuff, that's pretty fantastic. I mean, when you can have Wade Boggs sit there and say, yeah, he really did hit that home run and it just kept going. I mean, that's impressive. I don't care who you root for. That's pretty damn impressive. Okay, now we have, I did not mark down. I almost missed a point for myself. That's how bad it was. I had a zero there because stupid-ass Billy Kidman. Anyway, moving on to Justin and his next question.
Also from the classic era, championships. What leader of the Nation of Domination challenged The Undertaker for the WWE Championship at King of the Ring in 1997?
That would have to be from the original Nation Domination, Farouk.
Oh, yeah!
That actually swayed me a little bit because I didn't know the answer to that one. I was surprised. I thought they were throwing a little bit of a curveball, although I have no idea how Nation Domination is considered part of the classic WWF, but... That's neither here nor there. That was all part of the whole gang wars with the Attitude Era. I don't know. This game's kind of funky in some places. Anyway, my next. Oh wait, did I give you a point? I don't know if I gave you a point. I have to do math at the end of this, so we'll find out then who won. I'll just count up the zeros and see who won. Okay, so my next question.
From the modern era. Championships. When an injury forced Edge to vacate the title, who won a 20-man battle royale for the World Heavyweight Championship in July 2007?
July 2007. I'm only thinking of one battle royal right now for our vacated title, and that was when Batista vacated it, Kurt Angle won. So I'll have to say it's the Great Khali.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh, that was a close one. Did you have that one?
I knew it was either Kurt Angle or the Great Khali, because like you said, those are the only two that were popping into my mind. And for some reason, Kurt Angle's win to me was coming more towards something that happened in like the beginning. So I think Kurt Angle won it going into WrestleMania 22. So that would have, so by process of elimination, I think I would have gone with Great Khali.
See, I had it. I knew I had Kurt Angle when Batista forfeited it, because that was actually when I worked there, and we had to do a promo for Kurt to be on ECW. Then we found out that he was being traded to Raw that day, so we had to switch it over that he was going to be on all the Raw live events. And then we found out the next day that Batista was hurt, and they were moving Kurt over to SmackDown, so we had to change all the SmackDowns, put him in all the SmackDown promos and send them out then. So that was the only reason why I knew that he won the title in that Battle Royal, but I knew Great Khali had a title run at one point, and I couldn't remember if he won in a match or he won in a Battle Royal, so I was just flying by the seat of my pants, I guess, on that one. I had no idea. But, yeah, that was luck on my side, I think, a little bit. It was probably elimination, because I think they've only had two, but, yeah, they... I thank God for the Great Khali. I don't know. Let's move on to your next question.
From the modern era, superstar bio. What superstar starred in the film The Marine 2?
The Marine 2, that is... God, why am I drawing a blank on this? The Ted DiBiase Jr.?
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, I remember John Cena from the first one and Miz from the third one, and I was just like, I'm trying to run through it in my head. And for some reason, the first one that popped into my head was Mr. Kennedy, but then I remember that wasn't the Marine. It was something else.
No, it was the Marine, but it was like the Marine home front or something like that. It didn't have a number.
Okay.
What I find funny is I think I was at like Target or something the other day, or it might have been this morning. I've been up since 3 o'clock this morning, so it might be why I'm a little rambly. But I was looking for a certain Blu-ray, and I saw just featured on display at Target 12 Rounds 2 starring Randy Orton. And I'm like, how the hell can you feature this thing? Why is it not one of those bucket things where you have to shift through 9 million different DVDs to find something? Go on, you pulling off that one. That's like Ted DiBiase's one claim to fame. It was that and a feud with DX, which him and Cody actually... Remember when everybody thought that Ted DiBiase was going to be the one that was going to be the Shawn Michaels out of the Legacy group, and it ended up being Cody Rhodes, the one with the lisp, and nobody even cares anymore.
No.
Yeah, and he's a normal brother compared to Goldust.
Yeah.
But, yeah. anyway, moving on to my next question. All right.
Attitude Era. Diva was cousin to Hardcore and Crash Holly.
That would be Molly Holly. Who
yeah.
Eventually turned into Mighty Molly Holly and beat the Hurricane for the Hardcore Championship for all of at WrestleMania 19, I want to say, or WrestleMania 17, for all of like 20 minutes before Christian knocked her out with a door. but yes, Mighty Molly Holly, that She was a very, very good wrestler in a time when Divas wrestling was not appreciated at all. It was the eras of Sables and when Trish Stratus used to just be the wheelchair nurse to Linda McMahon. That was a bad time to be a women's wrestler in the WWE, but somehow she lasted for a while, and she's very underrated in my opinion. I would not be surprised if she's entered into the Hall of Fame once they start running out of women to induct. But I don't know, Justin, you got to add a little bit onto some of these things, just because I'm adding a lot onto my answers, and you're just kind of just blasting them out and then moving on to the next one.
I'll say for Molly Holly, I will always give her props for shaving her head like she did at WrestleMania 20. I mean, I agree with the whole part about being a great, good, underrated female wrestler, but, you know, I'm sure, you know, maybe she was paid a little extra by that to do that, but, you know, it takes courage for women to do things like that and for her to do it and play it into a role. And if I remember correctly, playing it quite well afterwards, just with the whole comedy stuff with her head shaved, you know, I think that's double props for her to do that.
Well, that's what was so hysterical. Well, afterwards, what was great was that she wore a wig with a chin strap. That was fantastic. But the head shaving thing was surreal because it was happening on the stage at WrestleMania 20 because they wanted to do it in front of the audience, and it took too long. So it was going into other people's segments. They had to keep going to video packages and go back and forth, and that wasn't supposed to be happening during that time. And this was WrestleMania 20. You'd think they would have gotten it by now, but apparently Victoria is not very good at shaving people's heads. But anyway, moving on to your question.
Also from the Attitude Era, big events. Who served as the special guest referee for the triple threat match for the WWE Championship between Stone Cold Steve Austin, Triple H, and Mankind at SummerSlam 1999?
That would be the Body himself, Jesse the Body Ventura.
Oh, yeah!
The only thing I remember from that match was being upset at the time that Mick Foley was winning the title because to this day, I mean, I like Mick Foley. He's not one of my, I wouldn't call him one of my favorite wrestlers. I mean, I still appreciate everything that he's done and all the crap he's put his body through the years. Because I remember, if I remember correctly, I think he lost the title either the next night or a week later. I was assuming at the time that Triple H was finally going to get it, and then that didn't happen, and then Mick Foley, like I said, I think he lost it the next night or next pay-per-view or next week to Triple H.
It was the next night, yeah.
They had to make it a triple threat.
Yeah, it was the next night they had the whole thing where they at the pay-per-view they had the whole thing where they screwed over Triple H because it was the McMahon-Helmsley era, so that's why they brought in Jesse Ventura and blah, blah, blah. And then the very next night, he won the championship, and it was the evil DX reign and everything else. But, I was sweating that question up until I heard SummerSlam, and then I was like, ah, Jesse Ventura. And that's just what connected in my head. But up until that point, I was like, what triple threat match had Triple H, Mankind, and Steve Austin? It just seemed like it was odd time. Like, if they said The Rock, yeah, I could see that. But Steve Austin kind of threw me for a loop there. But thank goodness it wasn't my question. Anyway, going on to my question, and here we go. All right.
From the classic era, championship. What diva briefly managed the Smoking Guns tag team, but abandoned them when they lost the world tag team titles?
That would have to be probably the greatest female manager of the at least of the 90s, if not ever, and Sunny.
Oh, yeah!
as I played Macho Man's music, who is managed by Sensational Sherry, who is also another fantastic manager, but she only managed one person, whereas Sunny managed a hell of a lot of people. She was the Bobby the Brain Heenan of female managers, I guess. And this is just a random plug for a random website, but if you go to ProWrestlingTees.com, they had sections for all indie promoters, and Sunny has her own section where she sells her merchandise, and there's some great ones. There's one where just a picture of her, the body Donnas or whatever, but it's only half-loaded because of WWF on AOL. In the buffering and the loading of a picture lasting half an hour. And then there's another one of like most downloaded person of 1997 or whatever it was. Sunny has fallen on, she's seen better days. She's seen, sunnier days. Yeah, it hasn't turned out well for Miss Tammy Finch, but she's not had the best of luck in life as well. One way or another, she was great in her prime, and she did do a lot for a tag division that really didn't have very entertaining tag teams. Anyway, moving on to your next question.
Apparently, Justin wins. The three cards I picked up were all advanced to WrestleMania.
You win fake tickets to WrestleMania. I don't know where they came from. They're for WrestleMania 29. So have fun with that one. But you didn't win. Yeah, sorry to get your hopes up. It was just random fake advanced to WrestleMania tickets. That's the reason why we're not playing the board game, because that is just odd. But moving on.
So modern era. Superstar bio. What former manager served as ECW general manager from August 2007 through June 2008?
You said what former manager served as ECW's general manager?
Correct.
August 2007. Yeah, it's got to be Paul Heyman, right?
No!
Oh.
That would be Armando Alejandro Estrada.
Oh, my God, I would have never thought of that name at all. The only thing that popped in my head about Armando is from ECW is Braden Walker. And I would not. Yeah, I would never have thought of that one.
I don't know what I would have said. I might have said the zombie, but I wasn't paying attention. I don't think anybody was paying attention to ECW at that point. They were on their last legs, and they were already a dead brand at that point. Although you could still find them on their show at any wrestling convention with his booth set up, dressed all in ring gear and character, and ready to sign pictures and take photos with any fan that's willing to take a picture with this gentleman. Anyway, moving on to my next question.
Also from the modern era, championships. Who did Undertaker defeat for the World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania 23?
WrestleMania 23. Undertaker? Said Batista?
Oh, yeah!
Yes!
That was actually a good match, too, by the way.
What was that?
That was actually a very good match, too, if I remember it correctly. I think it was actually a little bit better than Shawn Michaels and John Cena. I haven't watched them in a while, but I want to say I liked that one a little bit better when I did watch it last.
All I remember about the John Cena Shawn Michaels match was that the match they had in London, I believe, was better than the WrestleMania match.
I think it
was like an Iron Man match or something like that. But, yeah, that was one of the few times that Shawn Michaels couldn't get the best out of somebody. surprise. Anyway, your next question is up next, and let's hope it's not related to MAGA, at least for your sake.
Would be from the Attitude Era, big events. Who pinned Kurt Angle in a hair versus hair match at Judgment Day 2002, causing the Olympian to be shaved bald?
That would have to be Edge.
Oh, yeah!
Yeah, and that once again led to another gimmick with somebody wearing a wig and a chin strap. And it was actually very hilarious. I believe that was also the debut of the You Suck chants during that feud with Kurt Angle.
Yep, and not just the chin strap, but entire wrestling headgear. He went full Rick Steiner on that one. But, honestly, but anybody watching that pay-per-view or watching that feud, did anybody really believe that Edge was going to get his head shaved? I mean, Kurt Angle was looking for any reason he could to have his head shaved because it was falling out fast. I mean, he had tough, I swear it was like Mankind when he was ripped out of his own hair. It was just tough. Just randomly he'd show up for work the next week and there'd be hair missing. So there was no chance in hell that Edge was going to be losing that match. It did lead to a great gimmick, though, and a great storyline. I will give you that. That was a rather hilarious wig chin strap and ear guards. hold on, and let me tally up and see how many questions we have, and maybe we'll go into a double round. Are there any asking wrestling wise? Are there any questions that are harder? Like, is it different rankings on each card? No? Okay. So, we're going to go into probably a double round now where each one will be worth 2 points. I would say for Colleen to look at all the questions and try to choose the hardest one on the card. And then maybe we'll be able to get this a little bit, not more difficult, but a little bit anticipatory to see who wins. Let's see what our count is up to.
I think we're tied if I added it correctly. If I'm going by my stuff correctly, I think we're tied.
You think we're tied. I see 1-0 for you, 2 zeros, 1-0 for me, 2 zeros for me. Yes, we both have 2 zeros. All right. I'm basically going by wrong answers because it's nothing I can count up all the right answers, but it's a lot easier to count up the wrong. Okay, so we both had 2 wrong. Huh. All right, so... Yeah, so we go how we're going. Because I can't really say let's add more for the wins because the ones we're getting right are the ones that... Here's something else. Something else to add a little bit to it. How about this? When, if we get the question correct, the person who... who didn't answer gets to have a follow-up question to that. And then if the person asked that question gets a bonus point. That sound fair?
What?
So
that makes sense.
Yeah, run that by me one more time.
So I'm saying, like, if it's your turn and you get the question correct, I get to follow it up with a question to you. So, and if you get that question correct, so you get another point.
Okay.
So that way you would have 2 points instead of just the one.
Okay.
And so if you get it wrong, you just get a zero. So that previous answer is just null and void.
Okay.
All right. So make this a little bit higher stakes and make it our own knowledge as well as WWE's invented knowledge for some of these. But whose turn is it on? Did you just answer or did I just answer? Okay, so it's back to me. So if I answer correctly, you get to ask me a follow-up question off of that.
Okay.
Attitude Era, big event. What muscular former WCW champion unsuccessfully challenged Triple H for the World Heavyweight Championship?
And when? Can you repeat that, please?
What muscular former WCW champion unsuccessfully challenged Triple H for the World Heavyweight Championship?
It's got to be Scott Steiner.
Oh, yeah!
Hey, if it relates back to what we were talking about before in that horrible, horrible match. But, so now, Justin, you get to ask me a follow-up or something relevant to that in order to try to sub me.
Okay, let's see. I'm trying to think of anything related to that. I can think of one. At the, they had two matches, one at the Royal Rumble and the other one, I believe, the next interview, which was No Way Out. There was another match that took place at No Way Out that featured a returning, at the time, WWE superstar fighting Eric Bischoff. Do you know who that was?
I would be Stone Cold Steve Austin. You do not have to talk. This makes it so much better. Ah, I love it. I had to make you do the sound effects. This makes it so much better. All right, so that gives me 2 points. So, and now we move back over to you.
Classic. Superstar bio. What trainer of Shawn Michaels accompanied him to the ring for the title matches at Survivor Series 1996 and Royal Rumble 1997?
That would be Jose Rosario.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, of course you would get a Shawn Michaels question, you Shawn Michaels mark. Damn it. All right, now I have to go follow up to that one. Let's see. Who came out of the audience to help Shawn Michaels or Jose Rosario at Royal Rumble 97?
Who came out of the audience? Ooh, that's a tough one. Who came out of the audience? Let's see, I'm trying to... Who came... You know what? I think, honestly, give me a couple more seconds. I am honestly stumped on this one. I'm just trying to rash this through my brain
you
real
got
quick.
Four, three, two... What?
Yeah, nothing's gonna. Nothing. I can't think of this.
No! It was Jose Rosario's son because of the heart attack angle they ran at Survivor Series. He was standing up to Sid. So he came out and was just knocked down by Sid, basically, and then Shawn Michaels rallied and went back to the WWE Championship.
Yeah, I did not remember that at all. That's a good one.
Yep. I didn't remember the black hat he wore because then Shawn put it on to go celebrate in the ring when he did his lovely heartbreak kid striptease whenever he went to the big match. But that was fun, drug-addled Shawn Michaels. A little bit too entertaining sometimes. Anyway, moving on to my question.
Also from the classic era, Superstar Bio, what music legend performed a moving rendition of America the Beautiful to open WrestleMania 3?
That would be Miss Aretha Franklin.
Oh, yeah!
And you get every video package of Vince McMahon saying, "Welcome to WrestleMania 3, and Miss Aretha Franklin," and it was awful. Anyway, Justin, a follow-up to that one. America the Beautiful, WrestleMania 3.
Follow-up to that one. Let's say, what was the opening match of WrestleMania 3?
Oh, jeez. I'm not going to know this, but you guys are, because you did all your research for the last show, or the last 2 weeks ago. Jeez. I'll say I have nothing. I'll say Killer Bees versus Power and Glory.
No, actually, the only reason I know this one is that WrestleMania 3 I actually just watched a couple of days ago on the network. It was the Can-Am Connection, which was Rick Martel and Tom Zink against Bob Orton and the Magnificent Morocco, which was managed by Mr. Fuji at the time.
That is terrible. I knew, for some reason, I knew Bob Orton was in there, but I couldn't think of any tag team partner he had besides either Mr. Wonderful or Roddy Piper, so it didn't make any sense to me. And when you just threw in Mr. Fuji, my brain just fried, and now I know why I've never really, I think, watched WrestleMania 3 the entire way through. Just not worth it. Anyway, you are up next with your next question.
From the modern era, championships. Who was the cruiserweight champion when the title was retired in 2008?
That has got to be, before I say anything else about it, Hornswoggle, if I think remember correctly.
Oh, yeah!
Yeah, that was right in the midst of the Chavo versus Hornswoggle feud.
Yeah, that's so sad. God, that's how it went out. I mean, that was such a great championship. And it could have been built to be so much more, but it wasn't. Anyway, okay, so there's a Cruiserweight Championship for Hornswoggle. Follow-up question. Who unified the light heavyweight and the cruiserweight championships during the Alliance and WWF battle?
Let's see. I want to say at least one of them was X-Pac, and the second one, Survivor Series 2001. I'm going to say the second one is Tajiri.
Right, but who won who unified them together?
Oh, who won and won both? Oh, I thought you wanted the match. Tajiri?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. So that's my answer, Tajiri.
The answer is Tajiri. Okay. I'm looking it up right now because I thought I had the right answer in my head, but I always have to double check. It was Hornswoggle. No, it wasn't Hornswoggle. It's the only name that comes up when you type in land. Oh, God, that's so sad. It's his picture everywhere. Like, why? Why would you do that? That is so wrong. And no, I was right. It was X-Pac. Because it was during the rain. Yep, you had the... Actually, I don't even think it was Tajiri. No, it was Billy Kidman. But Kim Close, then Kidman won it back, and then Tajiri won, and then he fucked Kidman, and then Tajiri won, and then he fucked Kidman, and there's a lot of running around there. But no, it was the ever, ever impressive X-Factor faction of just incredible A-Train and X-Pac.
Oh, God.
Such a blast from the past. I don't know, Justin. Where do you think we are? How many more questions do you want to go? Because right now, I think I'm up by one.
I think let's say three more each works.
Three more each?
That's what I was
thinking. Yeah, I think that's fair enough. All right, so I started off, so I will go first. So.
Modern era, superstar bio. What was the one-word name for the pairing of Beth Phoenix and Santino Marella during the summer of 2008?
That would be Santino, Beth Phoenix. That was Glamorella, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah!
Oh, yeah. All right. Okay, got that one. That is follow-up for Santino and Beth Phoenix.
Yeah, follow-up between Santino and Beth Phoenix. That was – I'm trying not to remember that part of – I try not to remember any parts of Santino's career for the most part. So,
hey, the wrestling guy's the big Santino fan.
I'm trying to look up Glamorelli here in front of me. here we go. Okay, I got something for you. While they were together at SummerSlam 2008, they fought another male and female in a tag team match and ended up winning the Intercontinental and Women's Championships, respectfully. Who was the male and female that they beat?
Okay, first of all, not cool looking up the question. I didn't look up my question. I knew the answers before. I looked up just to confirm. But I will go with it. It was for the IC and Women's Championship.
Yeah.
You said? Male, female, 10. IC and Women's Championship. Which one is that?
SummerSlam 2008.
Jeez. Oh, no. Oh, God.
Oh,
I'll go with Melina and John Morrison. And now I'm thinking of probably Kofi Kingston's probably in there somewhere.
Yeah, I'd say I'll do the no. You would have been right for the male part on your second one. Kofi Kingston and Mickey James.
Yep. She was still there in 2008. Okay. All right. So my first one's a zero. Okay. So we'll move on to your next one. And
all right. What? Oh, this is from the Attitude Era. Superstar bio. What WWE diva used her widow's peak mover to finish off her competition?
Oh my God, why don't I know this video? I know it's widow's peak. It's not that. Victoria.
Who is it?
Victoria?
Oh, yeah!
I don't know why the first thing that popped in my head was Beth Phoenix.
Yeah, considering Victoria, she's the movement until she retired. okay, so I got to think of something surrounding Victoria's and her finisher. Huh. Okay. Victoria wrestled in a match at WrestleMania 19 featuring two other women for the Divas Championship. Who were they? Or Women's Championship?
I know one for sure was... Actually, no, I shouldn't say one for sure. WrestleMania 19. Because there were two triple threats. There was one at 18 and one at 19, I think. I'm going to say Trish Stratus only because I feel like she has to have been in at the time. I'm going to say Trish Stratus for one. And my second answer, I'm going to say... I'm going to say... Jazz, even though I think this was the WrestleMania 18 match, but I'm going to say Trish Stratus and Jazz.
You are correct. It was Trish and Jazz.
Huh?
That was the one.
I thought they had one at WrestleMania 18. Yeah, I thought they had one at WrestleMania 18, too, because I remember it following Rock. I remember a women's match following Rock Hogan. Maybe that's the same thing. But.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if we... It was a triple threat or not. Anyway, okay, so we have, we've each had two, so these are the final questions for each. All right, let's find out what happens.
Attitude Era, superstar bio. What diva was a part of Steven Richards' Right to Censor group and was WWE champion during her membership?
Matt is the one and only Ivory.
Oh, yeah!
All right, back to you, Justin. Right to Censor.
Yeah, let's see, a follow-up question to Ivory and Right to Censor. Let's see here. Trying to run through all these matches.
No Googling.
I can't think of anything. I'll do Right to Censor. Name at least three other members of the Right to Censor at any point in the group.
Okay. Bobby Cannon, the Good Father, and Stevie Richards.
Yeah!
I think those were the only other ones that were in the group.
Did even Von Bad Bean join at 1.2, if I remember correctly?
Who is that?
Didn't you say that? Didn't Von Bad Bean join at 1.2?
Von Bean did join as I don't even know what his name was at that point, but yeah, okay. So moving on to your roster, we might have to go into a tiebreaker. If you can get both of these correct, we will have to move into a tiebreaker. So, are you ready?
I am ready.
Modern era, big events. Who won the 2010 revival of Tough Enough, hosted by Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Oh, my God. Why is his name slipping my head right now? Oh, I can picture him. Andy Levine.
Oh, yeah.
I'm ready to just spit out his name. And he lasted for so long. All right, so got to come up with a follow-up to that one. Oh, to Tough Enough and or Andy Levine. Ah. God, I wish I could remember what Andy's wrestler name was going to be. trying to think. Back to that Tough Enough. Oh, dear God. I was just thinking about it, too, this morning. Okay. I got it for you. Name. Ooh, I got two different questions, but I don't know which one you'll know more. Damn. Name the four coaches from that series of Tough Enough. That season of Tough Enough.
Steve Austin. Bill DeMott, Trish Stratus, and the first one was Booker T.
Oh, yeah!
Oof.
Yeah. My other one, just out of curiosity, if you would have known, I had my other question was who is the now former world champion who was rejected from Tough Enough?
That was in the Austin Aries.
Okay, good. So okay, a little bit harder one. All right, so we're in sudden death now. Whoever gets the first wrong answer is done. So. Well, no, we don't get each, because that would be stupid. It's just one. Anyway, yeah, whoever misses their next question is done, and the other one gets it right. So, okay. So, here you go. I'm up next again.
Modern era. Superstar bio. What future WWE champion was the winner of NXT Season 3?
Hey, repeat that one again.
What future WWE champion was the winner of NXT Season 3?
They had three damn seasons? Yeah, I stopped watching after the first one. I thought season 3 was the super, really unbelievably long one. Future WWE champion. It came out of NXT. WWE champion, right? Not a world heavyweight. Okay. Oh, jeez. Oh, this is when it was on sci-fi and dying and nobody cared. Was in Fandango because he hasn't won a championship. It's not WWE Divas Champion, right? Because they had a Divas year. That would not be cool if the semantics were to exist. If semantics is what's supposed to throw me off. Because if that's the case, then it's Caitlyn. And she's the only one I can think of that came out of NXT that won a championship.
Is that your answer?
I have to say Caitlyn.
Oh, yeah!
Wow. Okay, did you not expect that one?
The second I heard that one, I was like, that's kind of misleading because it said champion, and I knew that I knew the first two were male, so I kind of thought the third one was female, and I was like, you said, like you, I was racking through my head. Everybody, I'm like, well, you know, Daniel Bryan didn't win the first one, and I couldn't think of anybody from any of these that have won anything except one of the Divas ones.
Yeah, the only other, like I said, Fandango is still around, and the only other one that was featured was Derek Bateman, and he's in TNA now. So, and I knew AJ didn't win NXT. So, I got lucky. It's now a few for follow up for Caitlyn.
For Caitlyn, okay, let's see. Only because I vaguely remember this one, but one first thing she was given to me was the assistant to general manager, the general manager of SmackDown at the time.
That was Vicky Guerrero, because that was her pro on NXT.
No, it was Booker T.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. I can double check, but I swore it was Booker T. Give me a second to confirm this answer.
Because they did a whole love triangle thing with her going after Dolph Ziggler.
It says, in 2012, Caitlyn asked, given a job from general manager Booker T as assistant, but was afterwards put in a match against an angry E, which would be awarded the job. Okay. Alright, hold on.
So, let me
ask another question.
So, she wasn't even his assistant, Eve was.
Yeah.
So, your question was wrong.
Yeah. Let me see if I can get another Caitlyn question here, real off the top of my head. Oh, God, Caitlyn. Only.
I don't know, the fact that you had the question wrong.
Okay, only because I cannot think of anything else Caitlyn related off my head. Before it was revealed as a prank, who was the male revealed as a secret crush and kissed her in the
Who is going to be her secret crush, or who is revealed as her secret crush?
Who came to the ring pretend?
Wait, go ahead.
Who came to the ring pretending to be her secret crush, though it was revealed that it was all a hoax?
It was Big E Langston for AJ.
Yes, that was correct.
Okay. I think that was like the most recent or the last storyline Caitlyn was involved in. Poor girl. But she's doing well for herself.
She doesn't have much else in her career.
True. All right, we're moving on to your sudden death question.
From the modern era, what runner-up in Tough Enough Season 4 went on to become a WWE champion?
Oh, God. You said runner-up in Tough Enough Season 4 or NXT Season 4?
Tough Enough.
Tough Enough. Runner-up in Tough Enough Season 4 went on to be champion. You're going to win this match. I'm not thinking off the top of it. I'm trying to think of the same line. I'm thinking the NXT runner was not an official champ. Yeah, you're winning this one because I'm just going to throw out a name. I don't think it's right because I don't think he was on the season. I am going to say. I'm just going to say John Morrison, and I know that's not right, but I'm throwing a name out there, so I'll say John Morrison.
No! 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 No!
The Miz.
yeah, The Miz. Oh, God.
It was that stupid one that they aired it during SmackDown where Daniel Puter won and then got the crap kicked out of him at the Royal Rumble and was never heard from again.
But yeah, I really need to follow that one up.
So I am the first winner of our Mania trivia game, which Cam completely bowed out of, although I think he would have been eliminated a while ago. But that's just my opinion, and because he's not here. the wrestling guys just said that he would have given Cam easier questions, so just to level the playing field. But that being said, I claim victory. That is my win, and I don't think I ever even announced what our prize was going to be. Did I announce what our prize was going to be?
You didn't know.
Okay. Our prize was going to be I almost misspoke there, and I almost cost you a lot of money. Although you seem to have expendable income. I almost said a replica championship belt. But by that, I mean a Tori Mattel replica championship belt. And of my choosing, and I choose the a white Intercontinental Championship, the only Intercontinental Championship in my book. But that is for you and Cam to work out together in order to send that to my home because I am the
champion. I'm on the WWE.com shop site, and the only ones that come up are the WWE title, the world title, and the Divas Championship.
Yeah, they don't have it on there. You have to go to Amazon. I looked it up today, too.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure they'll be
I looked it up, too, and if you were Cam 1, I was going to send you the Divas Championship either way. But
I hope I finally win that WrestleMania bet.
Exactly. But it's not an actual replica. It's just a toy replica. I've seen the toy one. I haven't seen the real. I haven't seen the actual toy. An actual replica of the Diva. Who would spend $400 for the butterfly belt? But yeah. So that is the end of our trivia contest. I know the wrestling wife is thanking her lucky stars that the show is finally over. I thought it was fun. I think next time we do this, we have to go with these follow-up questions a little bit more because I think that's what actually made this hard and that's what made it different. We can go back and forth about that and discuss that another day. That was our – well, it had some WrestleMania questions in there, But that was our edition of the WrestleMania trivia game for HTCWrestling.com and InsidePulse.com. Next week, we have Andrew Goldstein on the show talking, I believe, biggest surprises in WrestleMania history. It's either biggest surprise in WrestleMania history or show-stealing matches of wrestling history. We did have a guest lined up that might be recorded on tape delay to be played later. I am not going to put out that person's name just quite yet because I have not gotten in touch with him. If I do, you will be getting an extra dose of the show with another special guest and another topic. But until that time, next week, hopefully the three of us will be here with Andrew Goldstein, again, starting at 8 o'clock next week instead of 8:30, as long as I don't get held up at work again. But for Justin Soronka, I am Matthew Herrick. This is HTCWrestling.com. Also find us at InsidePulse.com. Thank you for listening. Hopefully you had some fun and are answering some of the questions along with us. I look forward to my championship belt in the mail any day now, Justin.
I'll be right on it.
Until next week, this is Matt Herrick and HTCWrestling.com. Thanks a lot, guys.